Maryland's News Now
on the only station that matters, WBAL.com.
2:38. As we've been reporting on WBAL, today the Maryland House of Delegates voted unanimously to approve a measure that would reverse a court ruling designating pit bulls inherently dangerous breeds. Lawmakers say this bill increases protections for dog bite victims by presuming all dog owners, regardless of breed, are presumed liable for attacks. Tony Selesky is the father of Dominic, who at the age of 10 was attacked and critically injured by a pit bull in 2007. His case really sparked all of this. And Tony joins us now with reaction to the House passage of the measure today. Tony, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm very glad to be here.
As I understand it, you're somewhat disappointed.
Well, at the outset, let me just tell you that our case has been resolved. So the first question I want people to ask is, why is this guy disappointed and what is he after? And I'm disappointed because the straw argument in all of this has been pit bulls and victims. It's really an opportunity for them to preserve the one free bite rule, which was something that I was completely unaware of. When we ran down the alley to see what happened to our son, we didn't care what kind of breed of dog did that to him. And it turned out, ironically, had it been any other breed of dog, we would have never been able to get restitution because the standard for proving liability has to be what does the owner know. And at least with a pit bull, because it had a reputation, we were able to infer that there's no way an owner couldn't know that their dog could harm someone. Any other breed of dog, it would not apply. So the ruling was really not about pit bulls. It's become the straw argument. The ruling was the inequities in the law in Maryland.
Now, doesn't this measure, though, make it more equal, that all dogs?
No, not at all, because do you own a dog?
I do not own a dog. Okay. I have a cat.
If you owned a dog, 70% of all dog bites in the United States, the people are known to each other. So what people don't understand is if your dog, we were visiting and my dog bit you or whatever the case may be, and we know each other and we're friendly towards one another, that would not be covered because you would go into court and you would say, well, gosh, we didn't expect this. And I would be the victim and say, oh, no, we didn't expect it. We're great friends. And what happens is that then allows people to the insurance company to say, well, if they didn't know this, we can't be bound.
Well, in the past, if I'm not mistaken, Tony, the plaintiffs had to prove that the dog was dangerous. Now, as I understand it from this measure that was just passed, the dog owners have to prove that their dog is not dangerous. Doesn't that shift it just a little bit?
No, it doesn't. What it does is it gets you into court. Before, with the one free bite, you had no nexus to get into court. But what people aren't understanding is that now that you're in court, the very same thing that bared upon why you couldn't get into court previously will bear upon it again. You're going to go in there, and my own testimony saying that Mary Beth is a great dog owner because you're just trying to make me whole. Your car drifted into mine, and you want the insurance company to handle it. What people don't understand is that's not going to be covered. So you're going to go out of pocket to make me whole if you're a remorseful dog owner. And every single dog owner said that they wanted to be responsible. So the problem is this is a mechanism to keep the insurance companies from being responsible in 70% of the cases. They're not concerned about $1 million hit from a pit bull incident. They're concerned about the cumulative effect of the normal everyday garden variety dog bite. And so I'm staying after this because my case epitomizes how hard the law is, and it epitomizes what people don't understand is behind the motive of the legislature to get this through.
So you're saying it's coming from the insurance companies lobbying?
I'm telling you, if you believe that the number of people that own pit bulls and the only ones that are affected,
we're able to create that much of a stink, is what you're saying? No way.
Well,
there had to
I'm
be higher powers.
My sister owns a pit bull, and she owns her home, and she's not affected.
But
by
what if Dominic was attacked by another type of dog?
That's what I said at the outset. That's what I think people are missing. We would not have been able to create a nexus. We would not have been able to.
But
do
now
it.
Would you be? Now would you have been able to with this new measure?
No, because the standard would still be the same. Once you're in court, the standard is what did you
but
know?
But the onus is now on the dog owners to prove. As opposed
well,
to the plaintiff.
You have to look up the definition of the word onus because all you're doing is moving the audience onto the stage and you haven't changed the plot. Getting into court and winning a case These are things that people don't understand. I'm not a neophyte at this. I'm telling you that people are not going to get attorneys to take a case unless they can win it, and this doesn't get you a winning case.
How much did the landlords play in all of this? There was a lot was made in the headlines about landlords concerned that they would be liable and accountable, and therefore they were evicting dog owners, or they had the potential to do so.
Correct. And the breed that they confined their evictions to was pit bulls. But if they had expanded strict liability to all dogs, then people would have probably, no matter what kind of dog, gotten evicted. And that then points you on what the real issue is. It's not pit bulls. It's assuming liability for the actions of your dogs, and people falsely think their insurance policy covers it. And under the negligence standard in Maryland, it is not covered. And if you bring any attorney on here, or you go to what I testified in front of the judiciary that just passed this unanimously, the very last question I asked, the chair, Valerio, said to me, "You're correct. In that instance, you aren't covered." I said, "Sir, that's 70% of all dog bites." And he just rolled his eyes. So that's where we're at.
This has to go to the Senate, and it seems, from what I'm hearing, likely to pass.
Well, you know, I can't predict.
Although
that,
with more of a fight. Are you going to be down there testifying?
We already have. We've already given our testimony, and now we're at a place where we have to just wait and see what they do.
If it does pass, is the fight over for you?
No. I mean, again, I think what's going to happen is the awareness that we've brought to it. Law isn't what's going to change anything anyway. It's the awareness. The awareness that we've brought to it has been monumental. And what's going to happen when people start to make claims for various other kinds of dogs and they don't get the restitution they want, then they'll revisit it. They'll be able to cite our case. And the law oozes that way. So you're probably looking, if they do this 10 years from now, you're going to get the result.
So in the end, Tony, I guess a lot of good has come out of it.
Oh, a tremendous, and listen, they still may not change it, but yes, a tremendous amount of good is, there's nobody that from the Humane Society that won't tell you that I've spoken to that said, including Animal Law Organization, haven't congratulated us on making this a public awareness campaign.
All right, Tony Selesky, thank you so much for joining us and just talking about the bill that was passed today in the House of Delegates. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Mary Beth.
Best of luck.
Bye-bye.